first, let's do a big picture meditation. Let's look at kind of the brackets for what the possibilities are. You know, it's one way to solve a problem. Any problem that you might have. It's very difficult to be precise and nail it and say, here's the precise solution. I know this will work. It's exactly what I want to do. I don't need to vary. That's hard. It's more like you kind of stumble your way along and you guess and you learn as you go and then you commit and you try something. But I'll tell you, one way to approach a problem is to go to the extremes. Go to the extremes. For example, let's say you're going to buy a new car. Got to get rid of the old car. Just not sure if you should do it this year or ever. So just go to the extremes. Let's say you had this car forever. You could not have a new car. That's it for the rest of your life. That would be hell. It's going to need repair. It's going to be out of style. The paint's going to peel eventually. Go to the extremes of your problem. Go, how far can you go that we'll have a car forever? Then the other extreme is you have to buy a new car every year. Hi.
Here's a chair.
You're not allowed to. You can't keep this car. You can't keep any car. Got to buy a new car constantly. What would that mean?
Would you like another chair? Or would you like this?
You go to the extremes. What this does is it moves your mind into a bigger frame of reference. It's really a handy tool. I do business consulting. It's one of my jobs. And there's some tough nuts to crack. And that's one of the tools. And so now we're going to apply it here. So what I want you to do is, the idea is, we're going to look at the extremes of our possible existence. And I'm going to label them hell or heaven. Hell or heaven. Hi, new girl. So what I want you to do for the next few minutes is we're just going to look at what these two words mean. The extremes now. Forget about the middle where we try to live. Okay. Is that easy for everybody? What did you feel when I asked you if you want to be happy?
Yeah.
Answers? Yes?
Yeah.
That was easy?
Anybody else? It's easier and easier through time, too.
It's getting easier?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
Especially when you find out that there is no cost to it. It's just, we keep thinking there's some sacrifice, and so when you realize there's no sacrifice, there's nothing that's easy, and that's what you got to do. I find that I just have to undo it.
Is there a cost to being happy?
No.
Anybody?
Sometimes think there is.
Can you think of a cost for you to be happy? Compared to the way you live your life every day, right? Is there a cost for you just to stay happy throughout the day?
Well, the ego's gonna toll. It's gonna get its fee.
The ego's gonna weigh in.
The ego's gonna get its fee.
The ego's going to weigh in to get its fee. Every day. Did you know the rates for Comcast are going up? That's every month you're gonna pay. You just want to watch TV, right? Or get your internet connection. How are you gonna handle that tomorrow? The ego's gonna have something to say. Is there a cost to stay even through that little loop? Is there a cost to stay happy? Of Course in Miracles has a very short sentence in it. It says, would you rather be right or happy?
Like your ego, have such an investment in your ego, like the doing things a particular way and doing things in certain patterns, and your life feels a certain way, you feel comfortable doing things a certain way, that to give that up is that's, you know, is that a cost? I don't know, but the other side of that is freedom for sure. Being happy is it's there.
It's there. It's a possibility, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what David said. You know, he realizes that he could just decide to be happy. You learn this in Course in Miracles. That you are fully empowered. You live your own thoughts. That's all you live. Nobody lives for you. Nobody puts any thought or feeling into your head or experience into you ever whatsoever never. It's you. Everything you see, know, do comes through you. Through your filters, your perception, you give everything all the meaning it has for you. Mm-hmm. That's lesson number two. So it's up to you and you know it. After a while, of Course in Miracles, you realize, you know, the gig is up. I really can't blame anybody else for how I feel. I can't. It's ridiculous. It's like ridiculous. So if I'm not happy, guess what? I must have decided. So it's interesting that if you were to decide all day to be happy, you're just good at it. You know what? You just caught yourself. Watch it, watch it, watch it. Stay happy, stay happy, stay happy. Here comes something. Ego, backseat, deal with you tomorrow. I'm staying happy today.
I've got a question.
Hold on. At the end of the day, how would you feel? You would be happy. Were you successful? The math is easy on that. Interesting, isn't it? It's an exercise in your own self-empowerment. Another way to describe, what is Course in Miracles? Course in Miracles is a book on self-empowerment versus victimhood. Yes?
So, what if there's supposedly some kind of karmic difficulties you might be experiencing? Mm-hmm. You're going through something which might be reflected through some sort of repayment plan.
Uh-huh.
In a karmic sense.
Mm-hmm.
From another life.
Uh-huh.
Would that be, could that be trumped, I hate to use that word, but mm-hmm. trumped by your current thinking?
Turns out the answer is yes. According to this book, the idea of the past having control over your present is very, very strong and extremely prevalent and no toy. So it spends many a lesson regarding how chased by our past we are. But it does eventually in a couple of very clear ways break it to you very gently when it says in lesson 155, there is no past. Start, finish. You can think there's a past and you can build an entire dream around it. And this is what these ideas of other times having an effect on us. You could chase you for lifetimes. Sure it can. But this book is very specific in chapter 21, and it says, don't be fooled by that ego trick. Your current thinking, being able to come into this present moment, dismisses the past entirely. And it is proven to you, if you can come into the present moment, and everybody here probably has done some meditation, hopefully some successful meditations, where you actually drop out of time. I hope everybody's had at least a glimpse of that. Where's your problems then? Where's the karmic pressures at that? They're not. Nothing is. Yes?
But, you know, there's times when, it's simple to say that, you know, you just stay happy. You know, but we all have automatic behavior. Where for an in an instant, we'll revert back to our lizard brain and act out of survival because of something that happened in our past. And it'll just snap. Go, oh God, why did I get so upset? You know, somebody cuts you off in traffic, and then in a second you're like, all of a sudden that person is the devil.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yeah, and the times when you're physically in danger.
And there's time when you're physically.
And the animal speaks.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Absolutely.
So, but in those instances, it helps to be able to then catch yourself and return yourself back to saying to yourself that your purpose is to be happy or mm-hmm. have joy in your life, have tranquility, whatever.
The sooner the better.
sooner the better.
I'll take it a step farther. I think we're actually wired to strive and seek problems. And that's like the engineering of our brain is to seek out challenges mm-hmm. which create those feelings of unhappiness. It's mm-hmm. kind of this little circle. So maybe the challenge is to balance that with savoring somehow or some sort of awareness of it. Like you say, you know, you fall out of it, you say yes, you're in, you're out. But I think an awareness that the brain's going to take you down that rabbit hole gives you some control over that.
And then the brain goes down the rabbit hole when it's presented with a problem. Mm-hmm. It's the rent, or it's health, or it's a loved one who said, I love you just last week, and this week it's the opposite. Why? I don't get it. Why did that happen to me? Sure, pick your flavor. Okay, these things happen all the time in us. Right?
Yeah.
So this rabbit hole there, you could go down. Now, if you're in a situation like that, and you feel your grip of the world starting to bring you into some type of contraction that's not happy, in that moment, according to this book, you need a miracle.
Mm-hmm. Well, I jotted down, the cost is to know the difference.
Nice.
That's the cost.
Yes, okay, Mario.
As long as I know the difference.
Beautiful.
Oh, wait a minute.
Beautiful.
There's the miracle.
Yes, there's the miracle. To even take a moment to look at the difference.
I mean, that's how I've learned to step into my day 100%. Mm-hmm. And shut the door behind me.
Nice.
I don't want to go back to 99.
Nice. Going into the rabbit hole is not even looking at the difference. Following the ego's insistence that there is a problem that's going to hurt and you must get sad and mm-hmm. angry and loud and defensive or disappear or whatever it is that you do in your negative cycle.
I only have a problem when I remind myself that is a problem.
Wow, there it is.
Yes.
There it is.
That's all it is.
That's the circle of mind. That's true for love or it's true for fear. Mm-hmm. As you think it, there it is. As you think it, and the more you think it, then the more it is. Are you thinking about fear? You're the perfect button presser for your own fear. Nobody's better or closer to you than you. You can really do it to yourself. That's the only person that actually does do it to you. Are you thinking happy? Peace? Are you thinking chill? Are you thinking patience? Are you thinking maybe this will work out like it has for a whole 99% of all my problems never came out the way I thought? Are you thinking that at the moment? You're breathing easier now? Is that what you're thinking? Are you thinking that maybe you'd rather be happy than know everything about this problem? Is that giving you a little more ease? Then that's how you're going to live for the next 5 minutes. Yes, indeed. Seek no further than your own mind. It's what we learn with this book. With those lessons, throughout the day as we're doing our workbook lessons, we're catching our ego trying to get its feed, trying to survive. And it does it with fear and guilt and defense. That's how the ego works. Well, you may have really mastered not showing that on the outside, but the damage is done on the inside. And guess what? People can see it. Doing the workbook of A Course in Miracles busts the ego. And the result of it for me has been this shift in where all my problems come from. A shift from a life of hell, victimhood, waiting for things outside to change so that I can be happier, to a life of heaven, where at any moment, during any circumstance, I can clear my head, tap into this peaceful part of my mind, and chill. Everything shifts in that moment. It's more like heaven. like that. So what's the cost? Why don't we do it all the time? Everybody here has done it. Everybody here has surprised themselves on how calm they took an emergency or a problem. Everybody here has done that. Why don't you do it all the time? Or everybody here knows of somebody who's good at it. And it's no mystery. They're just better at it. They're just calmer. Why don't you take a note from that person and don't you just now, instead of going way up and way down, why don't you just ride it out? Like you have your entire life. Like you're still here, right? You're all alive? You did it? You made it? Oh, you remember what happened 5 years ago? Remember 6 years ago? Remember last year? Oh, but here you are. It's gone. Those problems are just, they're done. They're handled, right? They're handled. It looked really bad for a while. But then it just blew by and then, you know, it's over. And here we are. Why don't you just do it all the time? What's the cost?
What do you mean by the cost?
Well, that's exactly what I'm asking. In order for you to just be, keep maintain happiness throughout the day, which you all know you could do. Is anybody going to argue with me on that, by the way? Let's get it out right now. You, girl? You want to argue with me on that? Okay. Have you read A Course in Miracles? Do you know anything about this crazy book?
I just, you know, I've heard about The Course in Miracles. My sister Donna brought me to
Oh, my God,
really
welcome.
Interested. I just, yeah, it's great to be here.
Nice, nice. Welcome to our group.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm talking about, is why don't we just... Everybody here believes you have the ability to choose happiness, even though as crazy as it may seem. You can be chill.
I'll argue that one. Andrew.
Good. Bring it.
Yeah, I'm just going to echo what I said earlier. I think that we're wired to struggle.
Yes.
To some degree.
Yes.
So all the greatest intention in the world, it's going to be a push and pull. I do agree that you probably can win that mm-hmm. most of the time. Mm-hmm. 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 But I doubt mm-hmm. you
yes.
could own it.
Yes, yes, yes. Very important. Very honest. And
that's just me talking, because I yes. think that there's probably levels that I'm so not aware of.
Yes, yes. Perfect. Perfect, Jeff.
It's in our nature to strive and to be aggressive and find our way in this
world. Just look around, yeah.
Yeah?
I got you. And I think that as much as I totally agree with you, mm-hmm. and I know it, and that's why I'm here, mm-hmm. and that's why I've read this book for so many years, mm-hmm. and yet... And I've been there where I know nothing else but what you're saying. Mm. I've been there. I've known it in my bones. Mm. For sure. Mm-hmm. And not fleeting. For mm. chunks of time, for mm. months on end, I've known that truth. Mm-hmm. And yet, it seems lately, you know, I'm really listening to every word you're saying. Mm-hmm. And I, it's like right mm-hmm. here. But then, there's like a, it's like what Jeff is saying is this innate sort of like suffering. Mm-hmm. And like you even just said it, as crazy as it may seem, to be happy all the time. You just said it too.
I sure did.
You did. And as crazy as it seems, it's like it's not a light switch. It doesn't stick. Why the hell doesn't it stick? And I think there is a perverted world that we all see here.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And there's a part of me that you know, in my work, people want to be happy, and we're trying to sell them stuff, or we do sell them things that they're prescribed, whatever, mm-hmm. to help that happen. Mm-hmm. And there's times when I just am like, you know, pick three things, like, you know, animal cruelty, the environment, and politics, and you're supposed to be happy all the time?
Uh-huh.
Are you serene?
What about blind cancer?
Sure.
It hits everybody.
Exactly. All of these things, like, we are in kind of this perverted world, and
yes.
we're free and easy when we're two,
yes.
but by the time we're 92, everything's stressful.
Yes.
You know?
It's a body like, shutting down at 92.
Yeah.
You can't hold your bowels, for crying out loud.
Right, exactly.
You don't want to trouble these people wiping
sure.
your butt. You want to do you want, yeah. but you can't, right?
Yeah, health.
It's getting kind of cruel at that point.
Right. Let's take that off the table, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let's wipe that off.
It's kind of why that.
Okay, health could have been one of my
given.
Yeah.
All right. Given the lack of health or incarceration or horrible whatever disfigurement.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
good.
Take all that off the table, because that does seem like it would provide some different level of challenge.
Right.
You know, but like within our normal operating procedures here.
Yes.
It seems to me like one of my solutions, at least, or one of my go-to theories, is it's unmet needs. Mm-hmm. That take us down the rabbit hole.
Yes.
And that we have these relationship needs, we have these resource needs, we have these recreation needs, and we tend to drift towards like what we're good at.
It's led by the ego.
The ego's behind, I'm sure, all of it. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's natural, right? Comfort needs. You don't want to be too cold, do you? You don't want to be too hot or too cold.
Sleep indoors. We like to sleep indoors.
Like be indoors and safe.
But I hear what that's your line. But I hear what you're saying.
But like having really like supportive friends and a work that challenges you and rewards you. Mm-hmm. These things you can't just go get them. Mm-hmm. I mean, but they're needs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so those like when those needs are unmet, that's when I feel like we fall out of balance and the ego starts to win. And my working theory is if you satisfy those needs, you'll find some peace in that.
That's the working theory.
It's a working theory.
And absolutely right of the world. It's justifiable and provable. I mean, I'll speak. I've been working in the world the same way. I've been working to get myself wealthier so I can afford to smooth out some of the bumps. I've been working to get myself healthier. I hit the gym before the meeting today. Because you know what? It works. You know what? I'm happier when I work out. I think I feel better. I sleep better. I eat better. My girlfriend seems to be happier. I mean, so, and I challenge my mind with my work and with my private studies to help me be wiser because I just feel stronger when I can understand the world in which I live. So I am playing that game too.
Maybe the cost is...
However, that's Andrew. Andrew is healthy, wealthy, and wise. Or trying to get healthier, trying to get wealthier, trying to get wise. And I realize that Andrew will forever be under the pressures of trying to win that game. And many times I have struggled and failed when I thought I should be succeeding. A Course in Miracles came along, and it said in chapter 14, came right out of the page, you know, you. That's who I'm talking about. You talking to me? I'm talking to you. You, who are steadfastly devoted to misery. I thought, God, all the struggle I do, I have some successes and some pains and struggle, and I still feel like I'm just one paycheck away or one relationship away from another hell. Constantly, as good as it gets, there's always a shadow waiting. You know, it's just how this way this world works. See, you who are dealing with that, who are steadfastly devoted to misery, comma, must first realize that you are miserable. And would you believe that the title of that section is called The Happy Learner? This is Course in Miracles that helps you understand that the circumstance in which we find ourselves, the reality in which we carve out for ourselves, and let me give you the shortcut to understand what that reality is. According to the world and the ego, and when I look in the mirror, here's my truth. According to the ego, it's got three pieces to it. One, I am a body. Two, I am not free. And three, according to the world now, I am whatever I make of myself. It's up to me and I'm alone. Course in Miracles met me right there on 1, 2, and 3. The most repeated phrase in this entire book, and it starts after lesson 200, which is like 900 pages in to sort of get you comfortable with this radical spiritual awakening. I was trying to have a material awakening to safety, health, wealth, and peace, right? And then I got on the spiritual kick because it wasn't working. It wasn't fulfilling. So A Course in Miracles hit me in all three points when it said,
I am not a body.
I am not a body.
I am free.
I am free.
For I'm still as God created me.
For I'm still as God created me.
That's a good one.
It was a direct counter to the difficulties that I began to foresee for the rest of my life. And like I say, It's a big book. It backs it up in a depth and a precision and a lovingness like no other book I've ever seen. It walks you through your days. It prescribes 1 year of counseling where this book will walk you through hand in hand down to the minute on some days to help you catch the thinking that makes you believe you're a victim to this world. Bigger still, and I didn't get this till I read this book a few times, the book is at the big miracle. You guys remember what I say every once in a while? What is the biggest miracle of all? Oh, first of all, what is a miracle of anybody for New Girl? What's your name?
Susan.
That doesn't really help me a bunch, but yeah. Thanks for saying it. Yeah. So for Susan's benefit, please somebody, when we say miracle in the Course of Miracles, what are we talking about?
A shift in perception
of your same stinking problem. We would shift from what to what? Anybody? There's 100 answers. Come on, what to what? Fear to love. What else?
Lack to
abundance. What else?
Intolerance to compassion.
Intolerance to compassion. That's a miracle. What?
Effect to cause.
From effect to cause. Back to the source. Empowerment. What else? What's a miracle?
Heaven and hell.
A shift from hell and struggle to heaven. And yes. And so on it goes. From visible to invisible. There's 100 answers to that one. No matter what it is, it's a correction from false thinking to right thinking.
And from invisible to visible.
Yes.
I like that better.
I just kind of jotted down life preserver.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're drowning to life preserver.
Yes, Mark.
Maybe what you're talking about, the cost. I'm starting to think that maybe the cost is surrender. Surrendering to your humanity, to the fact that you do have an ego.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Accepting yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, because that includes accepting the struggle. You know, not having thinking that it's ever going to go away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay, Link, you can answer that directly. Otherwise, hold your thought.
Okay.
So, it turns out that that's a very slippery slope,
mm-hmm.
and one that is offered by psychology. That we'll go back in your past, and we're going to figure out.
I'm not talking about that.
Okay.
I'm talking about. Like a state change, you know, like, you know, a miracle, really, like a, you know, miracle thinking.
Yes, yes.
Requires, like, you can't shift from intolerance to compassion until you recognize you're being intolerant.
Yeah.
You can't suddenly become a compassionate person without seeing those things in yourself.
And it's very hard to be a compassionate person when you too are suffering.
Yeah.
Hmm. Now, the Course in Miracles is a very different approach. A very different approach. This is a valid approach, and it's very helpful. I think we've all done it.
But there's people who become, you know, who you know, like Eckhart Tolle, you know, or Brian Katie, they describe a transformational experience where they let go of something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what it is there's a surrendering that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you know, I haven't experienced that myself.
Yes, yes.
But I would say that would be a cost, because in order to go from living your life from happiness and bliss would require letting go of something, your tenacious hold on survival.
Now that's dead straight. Your words are exactly right. You would have to let go of something that's occupying you in order to shift to a different state.
Yeah.
That's your identity.
Yes.
Look at the judgment.
It's your identity, which is the biggest miracle of all.
Mm-hmm. If you think about it like that, you know, if you twist it, yeah. you spin it around.
If you've got wrong thinking about what you are, you will forever be working from false premises. And it'll be very frustrating and chaotic. Why? Because you keep acting like a victim when actually you're perfectly empowered to be lovable and loving and peaceful at any moment. And you, if it's true, if that's the truth you're denying, it will keep itching at you. And you try to be a victim and it ain't going to work too well for you.
It's your specialness, your identity and your specialness.
Then
and
there's
that's hard to...
specialness. Your mother told you you were special. Your teacher said, this is a special little kid here.
I tell myself I'm special.
You tell yourself you're special, and it feels good, because you could survive better as a special person than as a not special person in this world. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is so true, Walt. This is so true. And yet, that's not quite satisfying. These false promises are so limited. These ideas that you would somehow embrace your weaknesses, and that that would be a shift change that would empower you now to be more real. Oh, it's a slippery slope. It's time for us to look at lesson 182. I'm not sure what page it's on, but it's in the middle. You know, it's a workbook, so if you're going to turn about two-thirds of the way through the book, maybe more, to lesson 182. Let me see if I got that right. Shucks. Sorry. Oh, wait, 182.
Page 339.
Yes. Yes. Page 339 in the workbook. Okay? Julie got here just in time. We're talking about the difference between heaven and hell. Look in the workbook at page 339. Now, you recognize that's 339 pages after 769 pages of text. So we're 1,000 pages in to this discussion with an ascended master who walks in your shoes, trying to help you get your happy on. Okay.
Put you on that.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
It's not just me. Right. Everybody else too.
Right. Okay. But look what it says. Look what it says. Jeff, you want to read that for us? Paragraph one. This is, I will be still an instant and go home.
I will be still an instant and go home. This world you seem to live in is not home to you, and somewhere in your mind you know that this is true. A memory of home keeps haunting you, as if there were a place that you called you to return, although you do not recognize the voice, nor what it is the voice reminds you of. Yet still you feel an alien here, from somewhere all unknown, nothing so definite that you could say what certainty you are in exile from. Just a persistent feeling, something not more than a tiny throb, other times hardly remembered, actively dismissed, but surely you return to mind again.
And then, David, would you read that to Jeff, please?
Read it again?
Yeah, same one.
This world you seem to live in is not home to you, and somewhere in your mind you know that this is true. A memory of home keeps haunting you, as if there were a place that called you to return, although you do not recognize the voice, know what it is the voice reminds you of. Yet still you feel an alien here, from somewhere all unknown. Nothing so definite that you could say with certainty you are in exile here. Just a persistent feeling, something not more than a tiny throb, at other times hardly remembered, actively dismissed, but surely to return to mind again.
I'm not even going to ask if you guys have experienced that, because either you have or you haven't. Let's look at the next paragraph. Susan?
Yes. I remember my name. No one but knows whereof we speak, yet some try to put by their suffering in games they play to occupy their time and keep their sadness from them. Others will deny that they are sad and do not recognize their tears at all. Still others will maintain that and what we speak of its illusion not to be considered more than but a dream. yet who, in simple honesty, without defensiveness and self-deception, would deny he understands the words we speak.
I find this is a wonderfully, mystically sobering lesson. Let's read another paragraph. Donna? Is it Donna?
Mm-hmm. You guys see that?
That's really good. Mm-hmm.
So go on to three.
Yes, please.
We speak today for everyone who walks this world, for he is not at home. He goes uncertainly about in endless search, seeking in darkness what he cannot find, not recognizing what it is he seeks. A thousand homes he makes, yet none contents his restless mind. He does not understand he builds in vain. The home he seeks cannot be made by him. There is no substitute for heaven. All he ever made was hell.
From the perspective of the author of this book, as grand as the sunrises are and as good as the chocolate gets and holding a newborn baby can be, you who live here as your identity, you who live here as the sum of your identity, are therefore steadfastly devoted to misery. Not because you couldn't enjoy this world and make wonderful contributions and be the smile and the light of the world. No. Because if you limit yourself to this body, if you limit yourself to this as your true existence, you are carving out a private and personal hell compared to the truth of what you are, from where you came. The very power that you are enjoying, so you can be in a separate body, having your struggles, and making a day of it, you would be denying at a huge expense of one thing, and one thing in particular, and it cannot be known here. It's at the cost of love. The thing we claim to be seeking all the time.
What do you mean by at the cost of love?
You see, you can't exist as Carol in a separate body with the set of struggles that Jeff beautifully described and know love with a capital L. It's the cost of being here. There's no problem. It's okay. You are not a sinner for living in a separate body and investing in this struggle as an alone individual on a planet in space. This is not a problem. Nowhere in the book does it say that's a sin. Have fun, it says. Way up in chapter 3, it's like, you know, kid, you're really having a hell of a time here with the mind that I gave you.
What a drama.
It's a drama. You're really kicking it up. No problem found, you know. You're just sleeping, you know. You're safe at home here. The real you is safe at home, but you're dreaming of exile. And you've made nightmares. But that's not a problem. It's just a dream. Look at how serious you're taking it with this piece of your mind. Mm-hmm. So that's why this book comes through miraculously. I can't believe how authoritative this book is and how clear. Just on the edge of insulting me. And yet inviting me. For love. But it's just on the edge of insulting me the way it talks to me. Mm-hmm. When it says, you who are steadfastly devoted to misery, you first must learn that you're miserable.
Insulting you or your ego?
My ego. Okay. What I've been identifying with my whole life. It's like, you know, I found the problem, the book says. And it's you, Andrew. Well, wouldn't you rather be happy? Well, yes. The book says you can be happy. The book says in lesson 34, it says, look, I want you just to practice this thought all day long. What is it, Jesus? It's this. Just say this to yourself throughout the day. No matter what happens, just say this, okay? And then go on with your day. this. Here we go. Ready? I could choose peace instead of this. And you fill in the this with whatever's going on in your day. Well, I did that. And I did it like a machine. Timer on my belt. And I said, all right, Jesus, you said do it every 15 minutes, then I will. I had several employees at the time, you know, and was working in high tech, and all sorts of problems were popping up that day. But the timer would go off, and I said, but, beep, 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 beep. Okay, I could choose peace instead of this. And I take a breath. Well, it's true. Busted! Busted is his victimhood. Busted is this. There's something else going on, Marv. There's something else going on that is free. Mario.
No, I was just kind of getting the ingredients for spiritual elite.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Let's read another paragraph.
Okay, number 4?
Yep.
Perhaps you think it is your childhood home that you would find again. The childhood of your body and its place of shelter are a memory now so distorted that you merely hold a picture of a past that never happened. Yet there is a child in you who seeks his father's house and knows that he is a lion.
Alien.
Alien. Who?
Alien.
He knows that he is alien here. This childhood is internal and with an innocence that will endure forever. Where this child shall go is holy ground. It is his holiness that lights up heaven and that brings to earth the pure reflection of the light above, wherein our earth and heaven join as one.
Julie, would you read that same paragraph to Mario?
Perhaps you think it is your childhood home that you would find again. The childhood of your body and its place of shelter are a memory now so distorted that you merely hold a picture of a past that never happened. Yet there is a child in you who seeks his father's house and knows that he is alien here. This childhood is eternal, with an innocence that will endure forever. Where this child shall go is holy ground. It is his holiness that lights up heaven and that brings to earth the pure reflection of the light above, wherein are earth and heaven joined as one.
See those capital letters in there? The child bumps up to a capital C. Forever innocent. This is the child of God. This is your true identity. In this book, it calls it Christ. You know, kind of redefines a lot of the words from Catholicism. You become Julie Christ. Forever innocent. Playful. Yeah. Let's read another one, Walt.
It is this child in you your father knows as his own son. It is this child who knows his father. He desires to go home so deeply, so unceasingly, his voice cries unto you to let him rest a while. He does not ask for more than just a few instants of respite, just an interval in which he can return to breathe again the holy air that fills his father's house. You are his home as well. He will return, but give him just a little time to be himself within the peace that is his home. Resting in silence and in peace and love.
Does that remind you of that last resting in silence and in peace and in love? That's a holy instant. It's one of the benefits of doing this work with this book is that during your days, especially the difficult ones, okay? Your days when you're willing to shift your perception, you reach what we call the Holy Spirit in your mind, say, you know, this looks really bad. Show me a different way of looking at this. A shift can occur. If you back up, it'll lead the way. And you know what? You shake your head and go, wow, that's so much better than the way I was thinking. And then just a minute next comes a follow-on thought to the problem. And then you say, but since I've shifted my mind that this problem can't actually attack me, it can't actually take anything away from me unless I think about it. Like Walt says, he says, I got a problem when I think about my problems. Then I got problems. So many times you forget to deal with it and it solves itself anyway. You try so hard to prepare and it just solves itself anyway. So after a while, you start to realize, I'll just do the next right thing and just let's see how just the world handles it. You know, the worrying makes things so much worse. Walt says, when I worry about it, then I got a problem. So if you allow the Holy Spirit, which is simply the part of your mind that's still connected to the truth, if you just allow that part to speak, instead of your unholy spirit, what's the unholy spirit, anybody? Your ego is the unholy spirit. It is the one that attacks, worries, defends, feels unfairly treated, feels guilty, or feels like making somebody else guilty, deserving of punishment. That's the unholy spirit. It's the ego. And make no mistake, it's just as powerful as the truth, right? It's just as powerful in its effects as the truth. That's a hard thing to take for all of us who want to just, you know, the peace of God to come swoop us away.
So the cost actually is your ego.
Yes. Yes, it is. The cost is your addiction to your ego and relying on the ego to bring you happiness. That is the cost. Course in Miracles has 365 lessons, and I believe the purpose of those lessons is to teach you the language of love. To let you afford in your own mind to actually be at peace and be helpful and creative and loving. Because the ego will not afford that. The ego is always working on loss. It's always working on defending from what it does not want.
It's always working on projecting guilt away from itself.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody else's fault.
Somebody else's fault. Yeah.
And if that's what you're working on and you trust that, what you need is a miracle. No lie is going to get you out of that. No something somebody else says is going to remove the guilt that you believe really is legitimate. What you need is a miracle, a shift in perception. You need a guide. You got yourself into this trouble with your best thinking. It's time to surrender your thinking.
Is there any way we could train our ego to go the other way?
Well,
I mean, you know, honestly, I'm being honest. I'm being very honest with this. I mean,
like a dog. Actually,
huh?
Yeah.
Like a dog.
Well, yeah. You know, exactly.
Well, yeah. Mario, it's a great question. Especially, you know, because we are so deeply wedded to our egos. You can just put down who you are and how you are and what you do and what you say. Especially those fears that pop up. What about those? You have to start all over again when that happens? It's a very good question.
No, because I remember stepping in here the first day. I had so much armor on me. I was just like, really? I'm free. But by being here, it made me understand what I had on.
Yeah.
I was always just like negative about having to cross on everything, whatever.
Yeah.
But what I'm just saying is just that, and I always use that, I was kind of using that mentality of just like putting this thing in prison. And I got out of prison, but I knowing that he was there, to kind of control him, you know, but not, that's why I'm just bringing it up again, because it just can't, just like, wait a minute.
Excuse me. Wouldn't be to train it, would be to not acknowledge his power?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Going back to, what I just wrote it, the cost. The cost is knowing.
Yes. Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. Is it a matter of awareness? I am not a body acknowledges a body.
So the thing we do is just like one of the first lessons. I mean, just because I'm with you. So just keep saying over and over again, whatever the situation, choose happiness over this. Breathe and repeat. Basically, just keep doing that. That helps us get to seeing the truth.
It buys you a breath of spiritual air.
Okay.
If you've been breathing unholy air, you know, worry air, air, and you'll get that. But it will buy you a chance to breathe spiritual air, which allows for a miracle to happen, a shift in perception in that moment. And that's when you need it. You don't need it in some other time. You need it in that
moment.
Well,
I'm still kind of freaking out. There is no past or present. There's just now. I mean, there's no past or future. It's just now. That's kind of still freaking out.
Sure.
So, which I just keep reminding myself. But
good. Good.
And I understand what Pam's saying. I've never had chunks of time for months. That's pretty fucking awesome. I mean, I get like little glimpses here and there, and it gives me pause. It's like, oh,
yeah,
that's cool. And it goes away.
Yes.
But I'm not miserable.
Uh-huh.
It's not like I'm miserable.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not like, you know, jumping up and down either. It's just kind of like, yes. You know.
Yes. Well, for the people who aren't miserable, a higher still call besets them, like it would anybody. And the best way I found to phrase this was by some pastor, and it's on my refrigerator. Do not be aware of a failure. Be aware of being successful at something that really doesn't matter.
Are both the same?
One is being successful, and the other is failure. The world says, don't fail, whatever you do. Just watch out for failure. Have a fear of failing. Be good, really, really be. Try to not fail so you can survive.
But
there's a there's a danger of being successful, perfectly successful, at something that really doesn't matter. Feel the difference?
Well, I guess it just gives you the trap.
Trap?
That's what I could think of.
Yes, it's a trap. It's a trap, all right. Being a really, really good body. Being the perfect body, the perfect human being.
So you get kudos for that, so you live in that.
You live in that.
Hmm. But you know, if we have the backup of the spirit that backs us up,
yes,
we could train this ego thing to join us in a sense of having spirit to show us how to do it. Because that ego is going to be housed with us anyway.
Yeah.
Might as well just... I don't know. I'm just kind of looking at like another way out.
It really is, he said, like a dog, and it's really quite accurate.
What? Yeah.
See, because until then, the ego's leading. If you can make the ego follow, now you can play in the world. And it's just another game. But it's a big, big difference. And that is your identity.
Well, that's why I'm using spirit to back me up. Say, hey, wait a minute. You know, if this thing's going to be with me for the rest of my life, and knowing the difference, the cost, and, you know, whatever, but... I mean, I'm not to beat him up. I'm just like, to know the difference, like, wait a minute. Now, okay, I have to go with spirit, what I'm believing, what spirit's giving me in a sense of truth, this and that, knowing that he's going to try to persuade me to do this, but just persuade him to say, hey, not, you know, I'm just saying that it's if it's going to be a part of me, I want to train it. Or I know it's not going to be trainable, but the thing is that I'm going to at least try, knowing that it's going
to
be there.
Yes, yes. It becomes subservient to you. It's all fun now. It's play. When you are the servant of your ego, it's hell.
Mm-hmm.
When your ego is a servant of you, it's heaven. And now you can be truly helpful. All the ego is a thought system of a separate existence.
That's exactly where I wanted to get to on that.
It's not evil. There is no evil. Now there's hell. Describing this book is just sucky life, where you're afraid, and you're afraid of loss, and you feel disempowered all the time. You're waiting for the next problem to happen while you enjoy a modicum of success. It calls that hell. You're not getting it right. Asako.
I like to address about training your ego. Because that sounds like you're trying to fix, you're trying to like remold this thing, which is an illusion already. Mm-hmm. So you're actually fighting nothing. You're fighting a ghost, mm-hmm. which
false
is
compromise.
Impossible to win. The way that it works for me is since it's the big theme of this text is love is all there is. Mm-hmm. So when you experience, when you see something that is not of that, then you're dealing with a different animal, and the best that I could do is to look at that experience or that person as, oh, this is love too, mm-hmm. and shift whatever needs to shift in my mind. It's you know, it's called transformation.
And then would you then follow up with your words and your actions to be shifted?
Would I follow up?
Yes.
He does it automatically.
Oh, it does. Well, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about training his behavior, as mm-hmm. long as he's got behavior, to now follow his spirit thought instead of his ego thought, his unholy thought. He's going to have some holy thoughts.
Well, I misunderstood. I thought he...
If I got it right, did I get it right?
No, you got it right, but we see what I'm saying. It's just that it's always going to be there.
Yes.
And it's always going to, you know, like I said, during our journey through life, you know, when
yes.
you fall in that little rabbit hole, whatever.
Yes.
You know, he's going to be there saying, hey, wait a minute, I'm not used to this.
He's going to speak up. He's going to go for his feet.
Yeah.
He
and
will.
So what I'm
now, if he's in charge... If he's in charge, it's going to make your life
well, this
miserable.
Well, this just goes back to the cost of knowing the difference.
Yes, it is.
And what I'm saying, as long as I know the difference there and in,
yes.
and he's housed, wait a minute. I know it's just the body, but, you know, did you just say you went down to the gym before you got here?
Uh-huh.
Well, I want to feel that good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just kind of looking at it from different angles and just... trying to find that medium.
I tell you guys, say the same thing to me. It's like, who's in charge? Is it your holiness or your unholiness?
Amen. Thank you. That you said it right there.
Okay. Well, look at now we're talking about this child that you carry. Let's read the next paragraph. Who's up?
This child needs your protection. He is far from home. He is so little that he seems so easily shut out, his tiny voice so readily obscured, his call for help almost unheard amid the grating sounds and harsh and rasping noises of the world. Yet does he know that in you still abides his sure protection? You will fail him not. He will go home, and you along with him.
Wow.
Can you read that first sentence again, Mark?
This child needs your protection.
Wow. This just answered something that I've been going through for the last 6 months that I haven't been here. I'm in a transition where the silence is so loud because of my situation with my sons being gone and home alone, and it's really weird. Thank you for reading this.
Awesome. Bring the next paragraph, Carol.
This child is your defenselessness, your strength. He trusts in you. He came because he knew you would not fail. He whispers of his home unceasingly to you, for he would bring you back with him, that he himself might stay and not return again where he does not belong, and where he lives an outcast in a world of alien thoughts. His patience has no limits. He will wait until you hear his gentle voice within you, calling you to let him go in peace, along with you, to where he is at home and you with him.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. There's no coincidence.
Next paragraph.
Okay.
So here it comes. Here's the how-to.
Oh, boy. When you are still an instant, when the world recedes from you, when valueless ideas cease to have value in your restless mind, then will you hear his voice.
Whew.
So poignantly, he calls to you that you will not resist him longer. In that instant, he will take you to his home, and you will stay with him in perfect stillness, silent and at peace, beyond all words, untouched by fear and doubt, sublimely certain that you are at home.
That's the holy instant there?
Yes. The holy instant is this awareness of timelessness and of your home. Your home state. It's a state. Indeed. Okay, let's flip back. Check out text 222. And paragraph 9. See, what we're talking about is the cost of heaven, the cost of happiness, the cost of freedom versus continuing the addiction to victimhood, being alone, being struggling in what you already know. See, there's a big problem with illusion. And it is that you know something, see, that's not true. It's poison for the mind. For you to know something that's not true is poison. It's what A Course in Miracles calls sickness. And it's completely unnecessary.
What do you mean by something that's not true?
You know something and are willing to defend it.
Okay.
And it's not true. Sucks to be you. You know why? Because you're going to end up with chaos and misery. You're trying to defend something that doesn't hold up when it comes to leaning on it.
Like Donald Trump trying to defend Nazi white supremacist groups.
Could be. It will fail. Something that's not true is lacking the essential strength of truth. Truth applies all the time and needs no proof. The truth is peaceful for all those who encounter it. If you're fighting about something, defending something, describing something, holding up something that's not true, there will be chaos and unnecessary tail chasing. We've become very good at it because it's one of our tasks to be separate from God, is to hold up some lies like you're really limited to that body. It's really you. There it is. When you wave, it waves back in the mirror, right? Isn't that proof enough? There I am. It's so limited. It's a little prison cell, see? It's a little prison cell, this body. And having been satisfied that that's all there is a sad state in me for such a grand spirit as you are. No. Not good enough for a child of God. Look at page 222. And who's up? Paragraph 9?
The world you perceive is a world of separation. Perhaps you are willing to accept even death to deny your father, but he would not have it so. And so it is not so. You still cannot will against him. That is why you have no control over the world you made. It is not a world of will because it is governed by the desire of to be unlike God. and this desire is not will.
Let's unpack that sentence real quick. This is metaphysics of A Course in Miracles right here in one short little sentence here. This it is not a world of will. This is a key word in A Course in Miracles, because it's governed by the desire to be unlike God. Now, A Course makes a distinction between will and wish.
I understand.
A wish may or may not happen. You try. I wish it was true. A will made by a mind of a creator, it is done. It is manifest.
Done deal.
Complete. And now the next will is way different from wish. Wish needs to be proven, tested, tried, waited for, even. I wish. Well, I hope it's going to happen. See, this is not creative thinking.
It needs to be validated.
Validated, yep. It. You are a creator, the book says, and what you've been doing here in your dream world is not creating, but making, and making a dream. And the dream has turned into a nightmare. This is not being a creator, and you actually are a creator. God is a creator, and you extended from that. And you've taken a side turn into sleep, and you're living there.
So when you were talking a little while ago about something about having being successful with something that is of no value.
Yes.
So that's like a side turn.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, it is. It could occupy you for a long time. Right. With nothing.
Thinking that
you're the best at nothing.
That looking good, having nice hair is important.
Yeah. So many. I mean, you listen to these Hollywood people finally talk about the truth of their lives, and you think they got everything. And they say, God, I just can't find happiness. Jim Carrey spoke up on this really beautifully once. It was a Buddhist conference. And he stood up and he said, you know what? I'm here as a very wealthy, successful Hollywood actor to tell you that fame and wealth is not where it's at. Here's a depressed person standing up and saying, I chased it really hard. And I'm just empty. I'm as empty as I was the first time I felt empty, even after the millions of dollars and successful movies and hot women that are chasing me. I need to address the emptiness, and it hasn't changed. So I'm just trying to help you who think getting wealthy and famous is going to change your emptiness.
But you know, there's people that revel in their wealth and their ego, and you know, I mean, and they think that it's hot.
Or just in their happy relationships.
I'll take you back to needs. I mean, maybe that wealth and fame is satisfying those core needs somehow. They've found that mix. Maybe Jim Carrey had the wealth and fame, but he was still not satisfying.
Maybe he was one of us. And it's other, certainly, there's many paths as those who seek. I'm not saying that wealth and fame couldn't lead you to nirvana as well. By God, why not? Absolutely. It's not evil at all. Beware of being successful at something that doesn't matter. It will occupy your time. For me, my spiritual awakening has turned out to be the prize.
Huh.
Every time I make even a little progress with this, it seems to lighten my entire life for every minute that follows, and they have not gone away. And I've been doing this for over 2 decades. Light shines, and it has shined every time I have opened this book. I am a lighter person. Masako.
It's always easier said than done, right?
Yes.
And one of the core concept of this book is our vulnerability is power.
Mm-hmm.
And to embody that, to exercise that, to practice that, to the ego who is so used to having its way mm-hmm. and control of your destiny, mm-hmm. how you operate in life, I mean, it will do everything to sabotage you
yes.
from experiencing yeah. that total exposure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And however, the price for that exposure to try it on. Am I really going to die like I think in the past that I'm going to? Mm-hmm. To show people that I'm really stupid or or I'm not as great as I, you know, pretend to be. Mm-hmm. And to stand in that awkwardness and that beauty, that rawness, and you realize, oh my God, I'm not dead. In fact, I feel so liberated. Because the place that I've always been so don't want to go there because I'm going to die somehow, that you step into that, the unknown, the mystery, and it is so liberating. And in that space, you really are like one with the universe. There's a sense of joy that I never felt. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what joy meant, other than he had some spiritual connection. But it's like that practice. And for my mind at the time, that was the last thing I wanted to do, because I was so certain that who I was, what I was given by God or at birth, was it was deficient. I was crippled. You know, I was somehow handicapped. And only through that process, it's only through that process of total exposure, making myself vulnerable and experiencing that, you know, I became God in that moment. It's really remarkable.
The spiritual journey for me has been like that too, Masako. It's been like climbing up, going hiking and going up a hill, a big hill, and you just hike and hike. And I've only taken 10 steps. I'm going to look back at the view again. Oh my God, it's so different. 10 more steps. And I look back at the view again. I'm thinking, what am I missing while I'm hiking? Now I can see a lake in the distance that I couldn't see just 10 steps before. That's the difference. And it's opening my mind and opening my mind as I cannot believe how much more I see. And it was just a few steps that I've taken. I thought I was pretty much at the top. Not even close. Wow! That's what it's like. Right? It's amazing. It's amazing.
You know, it's amazing because, you know, we talked a little bit about that last week. And, you know, it's kind of, I can compare it with the Fountain of Youth. In a sense of like, oh, wait a minute, you don't feel no aches and pains. You're in a whole different place. Mm-hmm. It's really, I'm not saying it's weird, but you have to kind of experience it to be there to actually taste it.
Yeah, because it's a shift in perception, yeah, and it's a shift like, in identity.
And that's what I just, I began my lessons that day.
Yep. Yes, and then when you go back through the workbook a second time, you will begin again. Because you've changed.
Yeah.
You can see and understand things that were right there on the page that there's no way you could have understood. No way.
Yeah. Just like me turning on that light. It was just like, whoa, really?
Like that.
It was just, it was beautiful. Thank you.
Okay, so let's continue. The difference between will and wish. Will is you empowered. Wish is you as ego, and maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. It's kind of chaotic. Please continue.
Hey, you still cannot will against him. That is why you have no control over the world you made. It is not a world of will because it is governed by the desire to be unlike God, and his desire is not will. The world you made is therefore totally chaotic, governed by arbitrary and useless laws, and without meaning of any kind. For it is made out of what you do not want, projected by your mind because you are afraid of it. Yet this world is only in the mind of its maker, along with its real salvation. Do not believe it is outside yourself, for only you recognize it. For only by recognizing where it will. It is will
only by recognizing where it is.
Where it is, you gain control over it. For you have control over your mind, since the mind is the mechanism of decision.
Mm-hmm. Wow. This is the cost of being happy. There is a world that we are addicted to and trusting and believing in, and it's in our mind. You would need a good guide, a solid, consistent guide, to be able to pry yourself off of the habits of believing in this world and your body as your identity. Really. I mean, really. But I'm here to tell you. We got that guide, Mario. Woo! Okay, let's do tonight's reading. Jump to page 403, paragraph 8. Brother John, when you're there?
This is about
and what are we talking about? We're talking about sin versus error. We're talking about sin being an unforgivable mistake for which you should be condemned because it's just bad. Forever. Unforgivable. Versus an error. Oops. Yeah, please.
Would you not rather that all this be nothing more than a mistake, entirely correctable, and so easily escaped from that its whole correction is like walking through a mist into the sun? For that is all it is. Perhaps you would be tempted to agree with the ego that it is far better to be sinful than mistaken. Yet think you carefully before you allow yourself to make this choice. Approach it not lightly, for it is the choice of hell or heaven.
That's it. It's up to you. It actually is up to you. As you deal with your next difficulty, it's up to you whether that becomes a door deeper into hell or a chance for you to wake up to your empowerment and your freedom and actually taste some holy air.
So to get to there, I just have to take a breath and just take a breath.
Take a breath. That's perfect way to start, and then don't move from that peace that comes from taking a breath. That's all you gotta do. Now, we got, you know, ask the Holy Spirit to show it to you differently. We've got, you know, do not let my past be my teacher as my the light to guide me now. We got all sorts of things in this book that helps you make sense of that moment of peace and actually stretch it. We got tons and tons of things in this book, but that's the essence, is break the cycle. If you feel yourself contracting, you're going down, baby. What are you doing, Julie? You're taking the first step into
page
the descent. Of, what?
Page 494.
That a girl. You're taking the first step into the descent to hell. Should we read that? Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to page 494. This is like, you know, a caveat. Page 494. And let's do 21 and 22. Oh, so I'll do a 21. Okay? From the belief in sin, the faith in chaos must follow. It's because it follows that it seems to be a logical conclusion, a valid step in ordered thought. The steps to chaos do follow neatly from their starting point. Each is a different form in the progression of truth's reversal, leading still deeper into terror and away from truth. What he's talking about is when you get in an argument with your loved one and you start saying, well, you know what you did last week? You think I was a problem this week? What about what you did last week? You know, Jeff, I didn't bring it up because I was trying to be nice, but now that you caught me doing this, I'm going to let you know how bad you are. I don't really want to do this. Man, I love the guy. And he's having a hard day. This is why he pointed out to me whatever problem I did today. I'm making it. I don't want to do that. But you know what? Once I get started, what do you think he's going to do? I don't even want to do it. And yet here I am. Right? How many of us do this? It's so silly. That's what we're talking about right here. Think not one step is smaller than another, nor that return from one step is easier. The whole descent from heaven lies in each one of these steps you take to jab your brother so that you can feel better, for example. And where your thinking starts, where your should be underlined, where your thinking starts, there must it end. Mm-hmm. Jeff, lay it on us, paragraph 22. Here's a very kind paragraph from your teacher, a very kind counsel, please.
Brother, take not one step into the descent to hell. For having taken one, you will not recognize the rest for what they are, and they will follow. Attack in any form has placed your foot upon the twisted stairway that leads from heaven. Yet any instant it is possible to have all this undone. How can you know whether you choose stairs to heaven or to hell, or the way to hell? Quite easily. How do you feel? Is peace in your awareness? Are you certain which way to go? Which way you go? And are you sure the goal of heaven can be reached? If not, you walk alone. Ask then your friend to join you and give you certainty of where to go.
It's pretty practical.
Yeah. Love that.
Catch yourself. Yeah. It's up to you now. The help is there.
Yeah.
Quite easily. How do you feel?
The sure test that only you would know. Only you could answer.
It's like we've been given emotions as a guidance system.
Indeed. Would you rather be happy or would you rather be right? Sometimes right means you have to kind of fight it out until he says, I'm sorry. With some tears maybe so you believe it. And then you relax. Oh my God, is that kind of relationship is that? Try happiness first. Do not take one step into the descent to hell. Yeah, this is a powerful section.
I know I've mentioned this before, but the power is in just how reinforcing it is when you choose differently. Mm-hmm. And so you choose differently, you feel different, and you're like, wow, I can do that. And you don't do it all the time, but you do it more and more often. And it just, I mean, like Andrew always says, the gig is up.
Yep. And it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whichever way you go.
And that development of trust is like, it becomes so much easier to let go the next time because mm-hmm. you realize like all that was your thought. It was like,
yes.
It was just your thought. It was nothing else actually but your mm-hmm. thought. And then, so that it becomes easier when the next bad thing happens as you perceive it to just sort of let go. And it'll just, unfold as it should, or you're just not attached to it the same way.
It's not as heavy. It's not as dark. Mm-hmm. It's what Mario's talking about.
Or even like right here, it's ask then your co-pilot to join you with you and give you certainty to where you go.
Yes, a little awareness, please.
You know, I mean, it's all it. Hello, he has your back.
Yep. Co-pilot's been charting the flight the whole time. You've lost sight of the runway. Co-pilot says, no. 10 degrees north, all you got to do. Clouds will clear any moment. Okay. A little bit of awareness goes a long way.
Okay.
Don't panic.
Just flying upside down for a minute.
That's what that was.
Look at page 59 in the front of the book, way up in chapter 4. Page 59, paragraph 10. You know, there's some heavy medicine coming here, okay? This is the Mario. Okay, paragraph 10. David, I think it's you. Big word now, big S word.
Yeah, salvation.
Yeah.
Salvation is nothing more than right
mindedness, which is not the one mindedness of the Holy Spirit, but which must be achieved before one mindedness mm-hmm. is restored. Right mindedness leads to the next step automatically, because right perception is uniformly without attack. And therefore, wrong mindedness is obliterated.
Yes, that's right. It's obliterated. You let it go for not being serving you, Julie, right? After a while, you recognize, I'm going to keep up this right mindedness. It just pays. It's a better life. Less stress. I'm sleeping better. People seem to like hanging out with me a little more. It's working okay. Please continue.
The ego cannot survive without judgment, and is laid aside accordingly.
And somebody here said, I think John said, he says, the way you handle your ego, if you want to make it smaller, is you don't feed it. He said, you stop paying attention to the ego. That's how you manage that. Interesting. And it takes back seat. It just withers.
It works, though.
Yeah, it works. Yeah. Yeah. Continue.
The mind then has only one direction in which it can move. This direction is always automatic, because it cannot but be dedicated
to the
thought system to which it adheres.
Yeah, it follows the thought system. The mind follows the thought system that it to which it adheres. Simple math, right? Cause and effect. The mind follows the thought system it believes in. From the father comes the child, from the parents, look at the parents, you can get an idea what the child's going to look like.
I think an important sentence in this paragraph
is
you should think about it. The ego cannot survive without judgment
mm-hmm.
and is laid aside accordingly.
Yes.
So, as the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged.
Yes.
By the same author.
Yes.
Is very well continued and explicated in this paragraph.
Indeed. Indeed.
Andrew, what would you call the opposite of judgment? Is that compassion?
I like compassion.
And it worked for me.
Yeah. No? Yeah. Ms. Falco?
It's peace. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Discernment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, discernment. Discernment is the truth of judgment without bias or without condemnation. Judgment without condemnation is actually discernment, and it's not the judgment the Course talks about. It's just making a choice of preference.
So objectivity might be just...
An objective, right. Objectivity, yeah. Whereas judgment, we're talking about Course in Miracles, you're actually choosing a sinner or mm-hmm. something that's bad or harmful. Yeah, but discernment is just simply, I think I'm going to do vanilla today because I had chocolate yesterday. Who cares? Nothing evil. No, judgment is that SOB should not be. Yeah, yeah.
There's a difference. It's like, look at that idiot because of the hat he's wearing. Between and the difference is like, look at that interest. Look at that hat.
Yes. Yeah, there's a hat.
Yeah.
It's that simple, man. And then there's a rabbit hole behind that. Judgment feeds the ego. And builds a world. A world that will become your prison the more layers you wrap around yourself. Just like that. Let's continue.
It cannot be emphasized too often that correcting perception is merely a temporary expedient. It is necessary only because misperception is a block to knowledge, while accurate perception is a stepping stone towards it. The whole value of right perception lies in the inevitable realization that all perception is unnecessary.
Woo!
This removes the block entirely. You may ask how this is possible as long as you appear to be living in this world. That is a reasonable question. You must be careful, however, that you really understand it. Who is the you who are living in this world? Spirit is immortal, and immortality is a constant state. It is true now, as it ever was or ever will be, because it implies no change at all. It is not continuous.
continues?
It's not a continuum.
Continuum. Nor is understood by being compared to an opposite. Knowledge never involves comparison. That is its main difference from everything else the mind can grasp.
Boom! Yes. Amen! Whoa! Yeah. This is your teacher talking to you. Yes.
I always think of like a peer reviewed paper and it's always comparing. So. I know, helping here.
So, one of the beautiful things about knowledge is understanding, like the compassion we were talking about a moment ago. There's an insight into knowledge that does not compare to another thing or a...
Just is.
It just is. The understanding of something that you're looking at, it's complete right now as it is.
Not to be separated.
Not to be separated or...
Understood as a whole.
Or compared to another, which would make the other separate or different. The knowledge, a pure knowledge, can afford a present understanding of whatever it is you're describing, even if it's a teacup. Let's take a teacup as an example. Take a ceramic teacup, or picture a teacup that might be found in Cost Plus Imports, or your home.
The one with the Chinese filigree?
That's the one. Okay? Pick a teacup. Okay, you see it? Can you form it? Go ahead, take a minute, form it. Put it in your mind's eye. Feel how heavy it is. Why don't you take the other hand and feel how thick or thin the wall of the teacup is, would you? And now I want everybody to sort of look and see how much capacity it has. Or doesn't have. If we were all to now open our mouths and describe each of our different 17 teacups, we would be comparing to the one that John describes. This would not be knowledge of his teacup. It would take away from the knowledge of his teacup. Where do you compare it to all the other valid teacups? Who knows teacups better? Who has the best teacup?
You know, if you go into it with all five senses,
yes,
and be 100% with it,
yes.
Oh man. Really, you have to use every sense.
Yeah.
To, you know, because, you know, spirit needs to be involved in every sense. Your smell, taste, hold, whatever, da-da-da-da-da.
Yes. See, spirit is much different than a material observer who only knows differences. When we talk about spirit, there's an essence of understanding that comes with it. It is not bound to the limits of material definition. We don't really have time to dig into it now, but do you remember? Sometimes, you know, we take some time sometimes and we completely turn inside out an object. We take something that we would all... The post is very easily identified and we just dissolve it into, oh my God, what is it really? The post is... When you call it a post, it's being blind to what's really that. Not even where it came from. What it is right now. We dissolve that with that big discussion we had. You guys remember that? We get into particles and stuff. So knowledge we're talking about here comes from an awareness that requires a shift in identity. When you are a material person, observer, you only know things by their differences. When you are a creator, you know things by understanding. Like a doctor has knowledge of a human body. You look at a human body and sees things that, you know, did you even know that the circulatory system is completely redundant for your immune system? Did you even know that? Miles and miles and miles of invisible pipings, clear piping, right next to your blood vessels so that you can be healed at need. Did you even know that? I studied immunology and all this useless information. The doctor knows so much. I learned to respect. Their knowledge allows them to appreciate this one thing without having to compare it to something else.
That would be a holistic doctor, wouldn't it?
I guess so. Okay, well, actually, we're out of time. So I shall rest. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, you're welcome. Let's have a circle. Take a deep breath. Did you guys hear the good news tonight? It's hell or heaven, and it's always one or the other. Only one of them's turned out to be true. It's all up to you. I think this is really, really good news. We really pointed out, we didn't avoid the fact that hell is just constantly barking at the door. No, we didn't. But this book promises that, you know what? You take a breath. You take a pause. You get access to just being still for a moment, not following down into that rabbit hole. And you will breathe the air of heaven. It's this to which you return. You're not going to hell, since it's not real. It's not even a destination. It's a dream of darkness. The truth is, there is only light. You were made by light. You were made for light. And you were made of light. Light is understanding. A creator understands. Knowledge is a gift that comes to you when you simply relax into being the extension of all that is. And you will play, and you will play, and you will play. Your heaven on your terms. Choose it sooner than later. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Not all.
Thanks, everybody.
Not all, man.
Are you ready?
And you press and hold and you copy the text. I think copy text, if you press and hold, I think copy text pops up. Like, as an option. But you can take it over. And